Now to technology. A woman gets a six-figure fine for sharing music files. Meanwhile, one school hands out iPods as part of the curriculum. And what's inside those things anyway? The Scoop on Nanotechnology. With us, tech expert Mario Armstrong. Hey, Mario.
Hey, Farai, how are you?
I am doing great. So let's talk about Jamie Thomas. She's the mom in Minnesota, ordered to pay $220,000 to six different music companies. What's going on?
Yeah. This is a big deal. This single mother of two here who has been found guilty. She's appealing this decision. And basically, the Recording Industry Association of America is trying to really put a stop to illegal downloading of music. They're saying right now that CD sales are down about 23% between 2000 and 2006. Online sales make up about 5% of their industry, but more than 1 billion songs, the RIA is saying, is swapped each month illegally. So they're trying to put a shutdown on this. They already have lawsuits out about to 26,000 people, and this particular case is the one that's gone the furthest. Everyone else has seemed to have settled out of court, but Jamie Thomas is fighting this.
Now, you say that there are scads of other people who have been approached or investigated. How exactly does a music company trace back these files?
Yeah, this is a interesting process because it's not as easy as one thinks. And that was part of the issue with the jury. The jury in this case, they found that they needed like severe technology lessons just to keep up with what was being said in the courtroom. But what happens is someone uses a website, say like Kazaa.com or LimeWire.com. These are in and of themselves legal sites that allow you to file share peer-to-peer. But if you have copyrighted material on your computer and you use one of these websites to say, hey, if you want to access these copyrighted files, I will share them across the internet, that's what's getting people in trouble. So the recording industry really can't tell in terms of downloading. They can tell in terms of who's sharing files. And that's what has Jamie Thomas in trouble here. And this is a little bit of a different spin because up until now, the talk has been about illegal downloading, not really illegal sharing. So she's in trouble for sharing out of her library of 1,700 songs, 24 of those they're saying they targeted for copyright material that she illegally shared. So she could have paid for these, but she's sharing them on a network, and they're saying she knows what she's doing. So that's how they pretty much find this information out.
All right. Well, we want to move from illegal sharing to illegal iPods, at least in some schools. They've been confiscating cell phones and iPods from students. Why have some of these schools been so adamant about this technology ban?
Yeah, some of these schools, I think it's a fear, Farai. You know, new technology comes into an educational system and it starts to scare people. I mean, there have been some cases where you can read and do research across the web where people are talking about technology devices being used to cheat and to get by on quizzes and exams. But by and large, most kids will tell you going to school, most kids maybe will tell you that going to school can be boring. And so technologies now are there that can make it more interactive. And the iPod is one that people are looking at putting in the classroom.
There actually is a school that's been putting iPods in the classroom. What are they doing?
Yeah, they're doing some interesting things. They're helping students with language. So you have Spanish-speaking students, for instance, in Union City, New Jersey. They've just ordered over 300 of these iPods, and their whole idea is to, yeah, you'll have a dictionary, an English to Spanish or Spanish to English translation dictionary, but why would we just give you a flat book? Why don't we give you that dictionary audibly? Why don't we give it to you on an iPod? So that's one. You're seeing other schools, like in college. You see Duke University, for instance, outfitted all their freshmen with in 2004 with iPods, and now 93 of their 2,000 or so courses actually require iPods. So these are educational tools. You can download audiobooks. You can download research. You can download career development,
educational development. I just saw a promotion for downloadable lectures, free lectures.
Right.
Yeah, if you missed out on Shakespeare 101.
Look, you know, where was this when I was in school? I don't know if I would have shown up at half the lectures if I could have just downloaded it on my iPod. And maybe that's part of the problem, you know?
Yeah. Also, some parents are fighting to keep cell phones in schools. Why?
That's true. Well, because they want to stay connected. I mean, you look at the cases that are hitting the news. I mean, we're still dealing with what looks like Columbine copycat issues that are going on. And parents are, you know, justifiably wanting to be able to contact their kids. I think, you know, the school systems are going to have to figure out how to embrace these technologies and leverage them. We have to get past that these things can, you know, get in the way of education. I mean, use text messaging in your lessons plan. Figure out how to make these technologies work. And I think people will benefit from it. We're seeing some of this happen across the country. I'm hoping that it will continue to outshine the negatives.
All right, we're going to go into the territory of hard science. Among the Nobel Prize winners were two Europeans for the physics prize. They dealt with giant magnetoresistance. That somehow helps iPods exist. Tell me what they're talking about.
I wish I could tell it to you on their level, so I'll break this down. It's called GMR, as you mentioned, and giant magnetoresistance. It's basically a type of magnet resistance effect that has been a very important contribution to the storage capacities of computers. So one analogy that I'll try to paint here is to say it's like a little bit like Polaroid filters for light, that if you cross Polaroids, you don't get the light passing through. Well, this effect has been exploited by manufacturers of hard disk drives, which are used in iPods. And essentially, it's giving consumers benefits, maybe with having faster boot up times, more capacity for storage, and then other applications that the GMR is created is a thing called magnetic random access memory. Many people know random access memory as a part of helping your computer run faster, but GMR is helping MRAM, too many acronyms maybe.
Oh, boy, you're losing me. But I will ask you this before we let you go. iPods, this helps any other devices?
Several devices, but mostly your PDAs, mobile phones, and desktop computers. So it's a significant, let's just say this, Farai, it's a significant contribution that was made to storage capacity, battery life, which is a big issue on many products, as well as the speed of processing. In the future, you'll be able to hit your power button and shut down your computer and hit the power button and turn it on. No waiting for the boot up and the boot down.
All right, a giant leap for technology, or is that a small leap for mankind? Anyway, Mario, thanks so much.
Giant leap. Thank you, Farai.
Mario Armstrong is News & Notes tech contributor. He also covers technology for member stations at WYPR and WEAA in Baltimore and spoke with us from the studios of the Baltimore Sun. Next on News & Notes, Tyler Perry's got a brand new movie featuring pop superstar Janet Jackson. That's Miss Jackson, if you're nasty.